I needed to walk around because I was afraid I might rip my pants if I jumped up on the stage. And I didn't want to start off like that. I love the way Evan started with worship today. Did you catch that little Freudian slip where he said, "Welcome to work"? I thought that was good because worship should be work. Somebody once said that we as 21st century Americans tend to worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. Well, that's wrong. We should look at what we do on Sunday mornings in the presence of a holy and almighty God as work. It shouldn't be so easy that we don't have to invest ourselves and think about what it is we are giving to Him. So you've done a good job. You're working well. And I would invite you to work with me this morning as we look into God's Word. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day will bring forth." My heart and soul is filled with all kinds of emotions today. It was exactly a year ago today. I don't know if you remember this. I was here. Andrew was speaking at a camp up in Canada, and I was here with you wonderful people. The previous night had been my high school 40th reunion. And that was a great opportunity to spend time with about 100 of my former classmates. And then I preached with you. And a few hours after I was with you a year ago today, one of the guys that I had celebrated with the night before died. His name was Bob Watson. Here's a picture of Bob. Bobby was the captain of our football team, much loved by his classmates, his wife, Dodie. And as I think about Bob's loss and that tragic, unexpected death a day after we had been together for that reunion, I think of Proverbs 3:24 and 25. "When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster, for the Lord will be your confidence." I'm not exactly sure where Bob was in his walk of faith, but I do know that we can have confidence whenever we go to sleep, that even if we do not wake up this side of heaven, we don't have to be afraid. Well, that was exactly a year ago today. Exactly a week ago today, I had the privilege of walking my middle daughter down a center aisle in a Chicago church and then proceeded to perform her wedding ceremony. That's Allison Joy, and you can see her middle name on my face as I walked her proudly down that aisle. Here's the guy she married, Tim Anderson. They met at Covenant Bible College in Ecuador 7 years ago, and I am thanking God for this. Finally, after three daughters, I get my son. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." When Andrew asked if I would speak for you guys today, and he was going to be with Anita doing their triathlon, he told me that the month of July you were reading through the book of Proverbs. I just thought that was a great idea, something as a church family to do together, to kind of continue to grow as one. One chapter a day gets you through the whole month. So why stop with this month? Why not continue that pattern as you go? That's what David and Peggy Beamer did in their home when they were raising three kids. Their middle child, Todd, who you see on the screen, grew in his faith through that daily discipline. His mom, every morning before sending the kids off to school, would read a chapter of Proverbs to the kids. I don't know if you remember Todd Beamer's name. He's one of those American heroes who died on September 11th. 2001. Almost in a month, it'll be 10 years ago. There on Flight 93, he and a few other brave, courageous passengers charged the hijackers of that plane that was about to go down But before he did, knowing that death was imminent, he reached one of those airplane phones that we don't have those anymore because of technology, but there in the back of the seat pocket, taking that air phone and calling an operator on the ground, knowing he could not reach his wife, prayed with her the Lord's Prayer before the plane went down. That kind of courageous faith and dying grace exhibited by Todd Beamer, living proof, really, of having been nurtured in the truths of the book of Proverbs. Last Wednesday, while I was enjoying some time, we'd lived in the Chicago suburbs before moving out to Washington 6 years ago. I went to Wheaton College, where my youngest daughter is a student, and there the student center is named after Todd Beamer, and there is a memorial there recalling his faith, his courage, his patriotism. And I thank God for Todd's mom, Peggy, who had the wherewithal to instill within this young man the principles of faith found in the book that you all have been reading this past month. It was also while I was in that area that I went to a thrift store, and as I was, I love thrift stores, garage sales. My wife hates it that I love them, but as I was rifling through some things on a shelf, I found this 45. It brought back a lot of memories. This is Peggy Lee singing, "Is That All There Is?" Some of you guys are my age, so you would probably remember that song. Yeah, I see your reaction. I was working at KPQ Radio as a junior in high school when this song was released. I remember sitting in the control room listening to the lyrics of this song. If you've never heard the song, here is what Peggy Lee says. "I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced through the burning building out to the pavement. I stood there shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, 'Is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.' And when I was 12 years old, my father took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears. And a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there watching the marvelous spectacle, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what it was, but when it was over, I said to myself, 'Is that all there is to a circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.' And I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We would take long walks by the river or just sit for hours gazing to each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. Then one day he went away, and I thought I'd die. But I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, 'Is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing.' I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm in no hurry for that final disappointment. For I know just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, 'Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.'" I had no idea when I heard those lyrics for the first time as a 17-year-old, how many people in the world held to that kind of empty feudalism? An existential worldview where life is devoid of meaning or significance. Millions still have that frame of mind. It's true of the Epicureanism of the first century, or the hedonists to which Jesus spoke when he said, "Let people eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they will die." You know people like that. The fallacy of that philosophy is addressed by another one of the scrolls in the Old Testament that was penned by King Solomon. He wrote much of Proverbs. He wrote the Song of Solomon. He also wrote one of the most difficult books in the Bible to understand, called Ecclesiastes. And at first blush, Ecclesiastes sounds like Peggy Lee's song. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What's the use in living? So why don't we just party hardy? I think it's a pretty good thing that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are next door neighbors. They live right next to each other. And I think that perhaps God intended it that way, for the 31 chapters of Proverbs to provide for us a corrective lens that allows us to read Ecclesiastes with the kind of focus that we should, and to understand the bottom line that, in spite of what initially seems to be the case, all is in vain. That's not all there is. There's more. I hope the past 4 weeks have allowed you to grasp onto these truths contained in these 31 chapters. And be reminded that life isn't random. It isn't empty. It isn't meaningless. It has a navigator who promises to provide an itinerary that is far better than any triptych that AAA could provide you with. Consider Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You probably have it committed to memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Our choices and the challenges that God allows aren't hidden from God. Proverbs 5:21 reminds us, "For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all their paths." No matter how heartbreaking or hard life may be, we don't have to go it alone. Consider Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Things aren't always as they initially appear. Someone's supposed success may in fact be failure in disguise. So don't be so quick to envy another person's success. Isn't that what Proverbs 14:12 would indicate? There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. That was the very first text I preached my first sermon from at Wenatchee First Assembly of God when I was 16 years old. Houses burn down, lovers leave, circuses disappoint. But consider the truth of Proverbs 18:10. It remains a firm foundation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. As we celebrate the 10th anniversary of 9/11 here in a few weeks, think about those two towers that collapsed that day and the nearly 4,000 people who perished. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And don't forget Proverbs 18:10. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Or Proverbs 21:21. He who pursues righteousness and love will find life, prosperity, and honor. Maybe you read this in your study Bible notes. Do you know that the book of Proverbs was compiled as kind of a manual for bar mitzvahs? It was kind of a book of instruction that was given to 12 and 13-year-old young Jewish boys as a guide for life as they stood on the threshold of adulthood, that they would have these prized promises and insights into how life works to take with them into their adult life. But it's not limited to young adolescent Jewish boys. Gratefully, the insights of Proverbs are for us all. In the few minutes that we have remaining this morning, let's consider the very last chapter of Proverbs. Here's how it begins. Proverbs 31:1, the sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. Praise God for godly mothers. And Evan, you've given us witness to your mom's influence in your life. I thank God for Todd Beamer's mother's influence in his life. And here, a king's mother. We don't know much about King Lemuel. Oh, my son, oh, son of my womb, oh, son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. She's being very straightforward here in what she informs her son, a prince soon to be a king. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to waste your strength on women, nor to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol, for if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. Just realized I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and you're probably looking at the NIV. The message is the same. This dear mother is telling her son, destined for greatness, steer clear of what has been the fall of many a leader. And even in our own nation today, how many men are falling because of inappropriate relationships with women or an addiction to alcohol. Like I said, we don't know for sure who King Lemuel was. Some commentators have speculated that maybe that was a nickname for Solomon, and this is Bathsheba, his mother, who was giving him this insight. Kind of doubt that, at least because if it was Bathsheba that was telling Solomon to steer clear of women and not to pay too much attention to alcohol, he didn't heed her advice because the women part especially proved to be the root of destruction in his life. Or maybe at the end of his life, he's remembering what his mother said and is passing this on for those who would follow. The book of Proverbs has much to say about the dangers of adultery or being led away by women of the night. Proverbs 2:19, none who goes to the adulterous woman returns or attains the path of life. Or this he has to say about the evils of alcohol. Proverbs 23:29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine. Let's consider for just a few minutes the rest of chapter 31. Maybe in your Bible it has this little heading, a wife of noble character. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? Or, as it says in the NIV, she is worth far more than rubies. Keep going. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. I have to give praise to my wife who got up early. We're staying up at the family lake cabin at Chelan, and she got up early to fix me breakfast before I headed down this morning. I'm married to one of these Proverbs 31 women. As I think of my daughter handing her off to this young guy, it's kind of like giving a Stradivarius guitar to a gorilla. Last Sunday, as I gave my precious prized daughter away, I realized I was giving this future now son-in-law of mine this kind of a woman who loves God, who is industrious, who is gifted, who is capable, unlike the sluggard that the writer of Proverbs spends much time talking about earlier in the book. This is in contrast. In fact, we need to bring this to a conclusion now. Let me throw out just an interesting observation. That whereas there are virtues described in Proverbs 31 that are what any mother, godly mother, would want for her son, it's not just for a wedding ceremony that these verses are intended. These verses are for us all. Because if you go back to the way that Proverbs in chapter 1, in fact, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs begin, you find that he's talking about a woman. He's talking about Lady Wisdom. And as he concludes this book, he's coming full circle and he's talking about Lady Wisdom again. And remember, if this book is intended for young adolescent Jewish boys at their bar mitzvah, talking about the kind of person they should commit their lives to. Not just any woman to marry, but wisdom to be committed to for the rest of their life. In fact, that's indeed who this noble woman being described in Proverbs 31 is. It's nothing less than Lady Wisdom. We all are called to be married to this gift that God gives us. The smart way of living, the way that works, a countercultural way of approaching life. Thank God for this book, smack dab in the middle of our Bibles, that is easily read and easily understood a day at a time. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the book of Proverbs, that it is intended to make us wise, that we might wise up in our walk with you, and that we might find ourselves engaged to and married to wisdom that will last us the rest of our life and will bring us to that ending of our days with few regrets and much joy. How we thank you that that's not all there is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.